Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this program. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff, playoff edition. Get that Mike corny crowd cheering in the background. We won't be able to hear it, but they can hear it. So welcome to the program, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. And yeah, it's exciting times here as the Philadelphia Eagles will be squaring off against, who's their first team that they draw in the playoffs? None other than Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champions. Eagles will be on the road, which probably a good thing because they played better on the road this year during the regular season. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by that. But hey, we're here. It's the playoffs, and I appreciate you tuning in. And because it's the playoffs, as I promised you, and not only myself promised you, but my guest that I have on for Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff playoff edition, none other than Matt, who's returning back to the program. Matt, welcome back to this Philadelphia Eagles Talk show.
Yeah, pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk Eagles football against the Buccaneers in this round one of the playoffs.
Yeah, man, it's playoff time. And let me just ask you, because obviously we didn't have you on early on in the show. I actually went back. I don't know which show I did my actual prediction. I didn't want to go back and listen to all my shows. I thought maybe it would be show, like, I don't know, right after the draft and all that. But I still can't find out exactly if I even did actually make, like, a record prediction. I know I didn't think the Eagles were going to be a playoff team this year. That I do know. I just don't know what their final record is. I want to say that I thought they'd be, like, 7-10, something like that. I didn't think they'd even be 500. But what about you? What were your – if you had to go back in time or just think about, you know, let us know, the audience know what your thoughts were before the season started. You know, with a new coach, Jalen Hurts, who's his first year as a starter, what was your thoughts during back at the beginning of the season as far as the Eagles, you know, chances to either make the playoffs or just record-wise?
Well, I'm not big on predicting, like, records and even scores. I'll leave that to the sports writers. So let me just start with my hope every year is that the Eagles are just able to compete every weekend, right? That's what I enjoy about watching football on Sundays is, does my team have a chance to compete to win? And if they do, great. And I almost don't even care what the record is.
Really? Okay. Well, then did you think they were a playoff team beginning of the year?
Also, because they play in the NFC East, I thought it was a possibility. Because you never know with Dallas. Dallas seems to always underperform to what's expected from them.
Yeah.
And the Washington football team and the Giants, I thought for sure, were weaker teams than the Eagles. So if I had to predict like who would have finished in the order, I would have had it definitely Cowboys number one, Eagles number two, and then Giants and Washington football team. It wouldn't matter. I wouldn't have predicted either one. I did expect more out of the Giants this year.
I did too.
And they just really couldn't do anything. I'm happy with the Eagles season. I can tell you that. I'm not a fan of just even reading articles. Whenever anybody starts suggesting that we should lose a game for a draft pick, I'm just like, you've never played a sport in your life. The way I feel about that.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm happy with the season. You know, every week I kind of thought that they could win this game every week. They had a couple big wins. So their biggest wins of the season were probably
Denver. Denver was one in Denver.
Denver was definitely the biggest.
Yeah.
And then they beat that Saints defense kind of handily, even though they were hurting that quarterback. And they beat up on some other quarterback-less teams to get the rest of their wins.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter, you know, how you got here. You know,
very true.
Team Wolf, I'm going to pull a quote from that. It doesn't matter how we got here. We're here. And I think
that's from Team Wolf?
That's from Team Wolf. Yeah, that's Michael J. Fox giving him his, you know, you don't
need. Oh, the Wolf. Locker. Was that the locker room speech? Or the huddle?
In the huddle? Way their final game. That's right. You don't need the Wolf, you know?
Oh, yeah, you don't need the Wolf speech. That's right.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
And that's kind of how I feel about this team, but it's not like they have total lack of experience. New coach, new quarterback.
Right.
But, and maybe we'll get into this, we will, I'm sure, but it's going to be so important to have Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, on that sideline, in the locker room, leading up to the big old Tom Brady to say, we've been before.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And be done. And we'll break that down as we go. But
yeah,
we'll get... I'm totally thrilled with the Eagles season.
Okay.
To be in the playoffs, to be watching your team play and have a shot, you know, that's why we watch sports. So screw the draft picks. I don't care if they drop 2 slots or 20. We're in the playoffs. So now let's go.
Exactly. Yeah, you play sports to compete, not to try to, you know, see what kind of draft pick you get at the end of the season. I mean, it's just, you know, if you're a competitor, you want to win every game, regardless of if you're already out of the playoffs or you know, you just want to compete. That's the whole purpose of sports, is performing at your best. And the Eagles, you know, as I did, and I know you didn't actually like make a prediction for record. I just kind of throw it out there. It's just a, you know, I agree with you to some extent how it's like meaningless. But for me, it's like, would have been cool to kind of see what I actually did predict at the beginning of the year and see where the Eagles were falling in. But I know that I didn't think that this team was making the playoffs, even in the NFC East, because I thought that only one team would make it. And I did figure Dallas would win the division, because I thought that they had the best team. You're right about them, of course, being, you never know which team will show up. And they actually were like that this year too, although they were more consistently good than bad. But here's the other thing that I did. I went back to my recap of the Tampa Bay game, which, if you remember, was a Thursday night game. So it was like a short week where they had to prepare for Tampa. And I absolutely spent probably 10 minutes of that show ripping Sirianni. So it was one of the games. And I remember last time show I had you on, actually, we were talking about ups and downs and all that. Remember how Sirianni was on my up? Mm-hmm. He was stock up. That just tells you. And I didn't even remember how much I hammered him in that episode. And it was episode 20 for the audience members out there if they want to go back and listen. But I ripped him for 10 straight minutes. And I was like, you know, I don't think, if this guy can coach. He just is so inept. And I was talking about, you know, they ran the ball, just to let you know, Matt, they ran the ball once the entire first half in that game.
Yeah. That was like their 3 carry or 3 rushing attempt game, right?
I'm not sure if it was the 3, because that might have been against Dallas, I think, when they ran the ball only 3 times. But certainly they didn't run it much. If they only gave one rush in the first half. I think they ran a little bit more in the second half. And they had success. Like, Sanders had 9 carries for the game, and he had like 59 yards or something like that. So Sanders ran well. I don't know what the other backs had. They might not have had that many carries. But there was 1 carry in the entire first half. And that is what was driving me up a wall about Sirianni the first half of the season. As we all know, I don't think I'm alone in that assessment. But it was just funny hearing me just tear into Sirianni after I just put him on my stock up list back in, you know, our episode. And literally 20 episodes later, it was the halfway mark, episode 20. And 20 episodes later, episode 40 was when I first brought you on the show. And that's when we did our stock up, stock down. And I had Sirianni stock up. It's really funny to go back and listen to it. But anyway, the point is, this is a different team now, I guess, is what I'm getting at. This is not the same. Go ahead.
Did they lose to – wasn't the score that game 28-22 or something like that?
Yeah, it was a little misleading, though, because the game was like 28-6 or 10 or something. It was really – they got a last-minute garbage touchdown in that game.
Yeah. But here's the deal. You see this Eagles team now, and you see how well they can run the ball. And if you look at their whole season, is there a game? I mean, they got blown out twice. One was to the Cowboys at the end, but that one, it was scrubs versus starters.
Yeah. Can't count that one.
But no, you can't count that one. And I'm like, man, if they had this running attack and they deployed it from the beginning of the season, what would their record be? So I'm interested to hear what you predicted. But if you were to think about how many close games they had, where if they just ran the ball, would they have won that game too? I would bet.
The 49er game, I think they would have. That's one that I think they would have won that
game. I think they could have gotten to like 11-5 if they ran. You know?
Well,
I really believe they could have beat some of these teams that were a little bit more in that juggernaut category. Because everyone's criticizing them for like, well, who'd they beat? They beat a bunch of bad quarterbacks. And they beat
I think there's a good point to that, though. That was one thing I was going to bring up. Yeah. You know, they really had a soft second half of the year. So we're going to find out really how good they are.
I'll remind you, though, that Neil O'Donnell brought his Steelers to the Super Bowl with the same type of offense. Run the ball, make one or two plays, make one big play, mm-hmm. and you're all right. And our offense is better than that Pittsburgh Steelers offense that had Neil O'Donnell, I would argue.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, and that was
I think so.
I'm talking earlier mid-90s. I don't even know when that was, but yeah. This team reminds me of that. You don't need much, and Jalen Hurts is better than Neil O'Donnell.
Yes.
So it's just interesting to think about. I'm not into predictions, but like
Well, we're going to hold off on predictions for this game till the end.
We're a worse record team, I think, because we didn't even find our stride until halfway through the season.
Well, the other thing about it is the Eagles are always play better as an underdog. So they're going to be an underdog no matter how far they go. Even if they beat the Buccaneers, they're going to be underdog in the next game. And if they happen to win that game, they'll be an underdog, you know, in that one as well. So they play better under that. I'd much rather be an underdog than a favorite. They always seem to, I don't know if it's the Philadelphia story that's just within the city, but it's just the Eagles always play better, I think, when they're underdogs. I mean, obviously, you don't have to go far back in the history to just point at 2017 when they were the first team ever in NFL history to be a number one seed and be underdogs in every single playoff game. And that was, and they were, you know. And so I liked being in the underdog role, but it is a tough draw. That was the team that I thought that I was kind of hoping for. And on this podcast, I said Tampa Bay would be, to me, not that any team would be easy. I just thought that Tampa Bay, with some of the issues they've had, and they've had some injuries too, even though it sounds crazy to, you know, to actually want the defending Super Bowl champions and Tom Brady to be your first round draw, that was the team to me that I thought was going to be the best matchup for the Eagles. Just my opinion to have in the first round. We'll see. They could still go out and get pounded, but I think they have, you know, we're going to get into the game details here shortly, but you know, it's a tall task, but I also just heard that the weather might play a role. I don't know if you heard what the weather forecast is, Matt, but last I checked, it's like supposed to be rainy and even windy. So to me, I'm like, that plays into the Eagles' hands, you would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I think there's a big, you know, weather pattern coming down from like Canada that's going to affect like the entire central part of the U.S. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And push all that stuff down into Florida. But I'm not sure. I think I'm more interested in seeing, like, you know, Brady. He's still Brady. I mean, didn't he lead the league in touchdown passes?
If he didn't, he was like top two. Yeah. He passed for 5,300 something yards most of the time.
Yeah. It's ridiculous and gaudy. And, you know, I'll save the injuries. You're going to go over the injury list, right?
Yeah, we're going to go through the injury soon.
So I don't know if weather affects them much because I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see the Bucs put the game in Fournette's hands either, but you would imagine that if it came down to a running game, that is advantage Eagles. So
yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting. I mean, I think Tampa can run the ball too, but, you know.
Yep.
It will just – anything that can – I mean, put it this way. The way I look at it is who's the better passer. It's not even a question who that is. So we're going to pass less typically when it's windy out and rainy. So that's why I'm just saying that kind of plays – I'm not saying it'll be a huge advantage. I'm just saying I think it's a good thing. I don't think it could hurt the Eagles.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too much further because I think I'll be getting into my game planning.
Yeah, we'll hold off. We're going to get right into that. Since you mentioned the injury list, let's just go over that really quick. What the heck did I do with it? Did I back off it? I think I might have. Let's see if we can find it now. Give me 1 second. Had it up here and then came off. This is another reason why I probably should edit my show every once in a while, but I refuse to do it. Okay, so here it is. All right, so this is the latest as of today, and I'm shooting, you know, we're recording this podcast here on Thursday evening, so obviously there's a couple more days to go here before and things are subject to change. However, for today's practice, the ones who did not participate in practice was Fletcher Cox. But he's just he's kind of like a healthy scratch. They're just resting him. Lane Johnson's got like a knee, so he was, but he was just considered as being rested as well. Same with Kelsey. So these guys are good. Does mention how Lane Johnson has a knee injury, but he's managed Johnson's knee injury in recent weeks the same manner. So it's not like he's going to miss the game. The one thing that kind of came off the page a little bit is Josh Sweat. didn't practice today due to an illness. Doesn't say it's COVID. It just says illness. So, but the timing of that could be interesting. I would imagine if it was a COVID situation that it would say COVID. So I'm going to assume it's not and that you should be fine for the game. But that might be something worth monitoring because they're going to need him. And the big note of the day is that Miles Sanders practiced for the first time. So it's and we kind of talked about this last podcast. Matt, I know you weren't on, but there was some optimism last week from Sirianni about Sanders being able to be a go in this game. So because it was very much a question mark, and now that he's practicing for the first time, it looks like he's going to be able to go. Now as we get into the game details, I definitely have some commentary on Sanders. Everybody knows my thoughts on him. There's a concern I have with ball security, depending on what kind of apparatus he's going to have to wear, right. Especially if it's sloppy weather. Again, we'll get into that momentarily, but that would be my only concern. Otherwise, they're going to need him to win the game, if you ask me. I mean, that's huge that he's going to be able to play. Full participation is Jalen Hurts. Obviously his ankle had a whole week off. That's why that bye week decision by Sirianni was, some fans had a problem with it. I mean, I didn't. I mean, I was like, rest your guys. I think it's just a built up Dallas hatred. Like some Philadelphia fans were like, why didn't Sirianni play his guys? It's Dallas. I'm like, you have a chance to have a bye week, you take it. So yeah. I never had an issue with Sirianni resting his guys last week, even though it did stink watching Dallas celebrate the end zone 8 times in the game. that's always tough. Okay, so that is really, I mean, there's a lot of guys that were like limited practice, but nothing kind of came off the edge. Jordan Howard, he's not, okay, he says that he was not even injured, he was not even listed on the injury report. So it looks like Howard's going to be good to go as well. But here's the thing. He's got one of those. It's not a stinger, by the way. I don't know. I think some people initially were thinking it was a stinger. It's actually a shoulder strain. But either way, a shoulder for a running back, that's tough. So hopefully we got, him also having essentially 2 weeks off. He'll be probably as close to full strength as he's been for the last several weeks, which is, they're obviously going to need him too. So, okay, the Bucks. Shaq Barrett. This is very interesting about Shaq Barrett. I mean, obviously, we know how good he is. He's probably their best pass rusher. He actually has like a partially torn ACL and a partially torn MCL. Now, I don't know how the heck this guy is going to play, but apparently he's going to try to play.
Wow.
Yeah, he's actually going to try to play. That's the latest report that I heard. He didn't play last week. He hasn't played, I don't think he's played in the last couple of weeks. But he's going to try to play in this game. And I'm like, how do you possibly play with a partially torn ACL and MCL in your knee? But apparently this guy's going to try to give it a go. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be good or not good. I mean, he's a good player when he's healthy.
I think it's an unwise business decision is what that is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they haven't said it's definite. They just said they took him off the injury list. I mean, as far as like, the IR, he was on IR, right? So he's missed the last 3 games. So he has been removed from that list, which gives him the ability to play. And the word is that he's going to try to play. But to your point, though, I don't know. Especially if it's sloppy weather, you can't go to good footing, and you have a bat. You have torn, partially torn ligaments in your knee. I don't know.
Didn't Robert Griffin III play a playoff game with partially torn ligaments, and then
that did not work out for him. Yeah, that was bad. I still remember his knee bending in the wrong direction. Jason Pierre-Paul got a shoulder issue. He was also limited in practice. And both of those guys, as I just mentioned, what I said, missed the last few games of the season. So, wide receiver Cicero Grayson, who I think is like their 3rd or 4th guy, he's not playing. And they actually just went out. This is the latest off the transaction list. They actually signed John Brown. Remember the Bills wide receiver John Brown?
Yeah.
They just signed him. Yeah, he is good. I'm surprised he was not playing with anybody this year.
Yeah, but Brady can make him look better.
Yeah, well, the Eagles may have to contend with him because the Bucks just signed him today. So
a lot of speed.
Lots of speed. But again, if it's rainy and windy, that's not going to help throw deep balls. That's for sure. Mike Evans was limited with a hamstring injury, but we know Mike Evans, how tough he is. He's I totally expect him to play.
He's tough, but wide receivers with hamstrings, man,
Yeah, they could go at any time.
Maybe he turns him into a tight end, you know?
Yeah. But he's the type of wide receiver who's not really like a burner guy. He's the guy that, you know, you just throw to him, even if he's got a bum hamstring, he still out, you know, he'll outfight the ball and catch it most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Not that he can't go deep. I mean, he can do that too. He's, you know, I mean, me and you both have always loved Mike Evans. Running back Ronald Jones is, he's not expected to play. He's got an ankle. So they have Fournette, but I don't know if they have much behind him. Like, Jones is pretty decent backup or, you know, potential starter. Fournette is back for the first time, though. So you mentioned him earlier. Fournette's missed the last few weeks because of his injury, and he is expected to play. So they will have to deal with him. Yeah, and Levante David, I think, is back, too. So no Chris Godwin.
Right.
And obviously no Antonio Psycho Brown either. So we don't have to worry about anybody running off the field with taking his jersey off.
Yeah, a healthy Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, yes. Well, that's true. Yes, thanks for bringing that up. Because Gronkowski did not play in that Week 6 game against the Eagles. That the Eagles got killed in.
Yep.
So they're going to have to deal with him. And that is, I mean, again, we're going to get into the game really quick because, you know, when you talk about keys of the game, that one comes right off the page to me is the Gronk factor. All right. Any other thoughts before we get right into the game details based on as far as the injury list?
I like our health better than Tampa's health.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree there. Yeah, we're pretty much healthy. I would love to have Brandon Graham.
But
we haven't had him all season pretty much, so. But you mentioned earlier, okay, this is why I want to get back to Brandon Graham. You mentioned, might as well get into the game details, but you brought up, basically you were talking about leadership, I'd imagine, with Brandon Graham. You're talking about Fletcher Cox, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, those guys, younger players, and this team is much younger than we were last year, and younger probably than even they were in 2017 overall. Yep. They're probably a younger team now. And those younger guys, I mean, yeah, they may be saying all the right things now in the press conference, like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to treat it like any other game. You damn well know as soon as that game starts, the lights are brighter, you know, it's just obviously it's a different level. It's just a different level. It's playoff football. It's win or go home. And they're going to have to lean on guys like Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and these guys that were there, Jason Kelce, that were there the last playoff run and can talk about, you know, the staying focused and all that kind of thing. But anyway, I don't want to steal your thunder. You're the one initially brought it up, so go ahead and give me your thoughts on what your train of thought was there back then, earlier in the program.
Well, that was largely it, but it's funny because everyone knows BG and Fletcher Cox and Kelce and the old guys. But the funny thing is, Derek Barnett is one of those guys now, too, that can say,
yep,
I beat Brady when I was a young guy like you. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to see, and you know, I wasn't even thinking about this, but maybe Barnett will become one of these keys to the game of a young guy knows he can beat Brady. He always seems to be, like I said last time I was on your show, around these big plays.
Yeah,
like franchise altering plays.
Yeah.
So I'm just very curious. I don't know. He'll probably earn two stupid penalties before he gets
there. No, don't say that. We can't afford any penalties this game.
If the Eagles can keep it close, I'm gonna put a little flyer out on Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
And say, watch out. He might make a play.
Yeah.
But I think between all the experience that's there, and then the fact that Barnett was a rookie the year that he recovers that fumble knocked down at Brady's hands by BG, it's very interesting to be in that locker room. They have the right guys there to just say, this is no big deal, guys. We can beat Brady. We've done it before.
Right. And so, they have a quarterback who, as we've talked about, is not intimidated by any of this stuff. He's very composed. He's very poised. The stage is never big to him. And he's got experience of big games. Not in the NFL yet, but he played huge college championship games in Alabama. Played for big programs, huge games. He's played in big games before. So, not the NFL level, but, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of his press conferences this week. I know you don't pay as much attention as I do, but he just is very, again, it's like a normal, The guy just never gets rattled.
No, what's funny is watching Hurts, you know, we haven't seen him play enough where people truly trust him to make the play yet.
Oh, I agree. Right.
But if you remove that fear from him and you look at the potential for making big plays, like the pass that he threw to Devontae Smith, the last toe tapper, the toe drag swag to Kapfa.
Yeah.
You know, Nate Burleson's NFL network moniker, that throw is like one of those plays where you're like, no, man, the dude does have some superstar talent to make a throw like that to a guy who also has superstar talent to catch it and get his feet in bounds. But that play reminded me of Wentz throwing it to Miles Sanders against the Washington football team two years earlier.
Yeah, threw a dart in the back of the end zone.
Like, holy cow. Like that, you know, if that was one of those, you know, super stat commercials or something, like, what's the chance of completing that pass? I mean, it was probably like 10% because it just had to be within this specific window at this specific time. So, he can make plays.
Yeah.
Well, so this made it kind of exciting and intriguing. You know, it's kind of like I still don't know what to expect from the Eagles versus the Bucks. They could be very competitive or they could get blown out.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. I have no idea. If they get blown out, fine. I'll take the extra higher draft pick. But let's go. Let's go beat the Bucks, and it doesn't matter to me even how far. Get some, instill some confidence in this team to just win, and then stack another win on top of that. And then once that confidence starts to grow, well, now you're in a different platform.
Yeah.
Now the rest of the season, the first 7 weeks didn't matter at all. So.
Right. So here's before we get into the actual, like, you know, game strategies and what you would do if you were Sirianni and how you play this. You mentioned Wentz, and I didn't want to go off I kind of wanted to mention this, but I didn't want to go off on a serious tangent, but I think this is a good time since we just met both, you know, we're talking about Wentz briefly. Did you hear, it's totally not Philadelphia Eagles talk, but because it's Wentz, it's still relative. Did you hear that, like, the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, they're actually thinking about potentially moving on from Wentz after one season.
Yeah, I've read a lot of articles with, like, comments from Jeff Saturday, you know, the Colts Super Bowl winning center that played with Manning all those years, and like a lot of folks want to speculate and make more out of what Coach Speak is too, though. But Frank Reich apparently was non-committal.
Right. The GM wasn't either.
Yeah, and
it's
so
it's interesting because, and this is the reason why I brought it up, because you made a great point earlier this week. I think we exchanged a text. I think it was a text. And the point that you made was maybe, and then this is all in retrospect now that we have that benefactor of being able to kind of look back, but you said something like, and I'm going to let you, because I want to steal your thunder, but comment on the point that you made about maybe Howie knew, like, saw this comment. Like, maybe Howie had the intuition that Wentz was not the guy. So talk about that.
Well, so Howie took all that blame, right?
He took a ton of blame because
you drafted this Hurts guy so high, and you put all this unnecessary pressure on Wentz. And it's just that kind of take to me. It's just that reminds me of people that just don't play sports, because it's the NFL, it's the professional sport. You don't worry about drafting Jimmy Garoppolo behind Tom Brady, right?
Yep, Tom never
did. He'll never get this job. And Jimmy sits the bench.
Exactly, you know? Right.
And so to have all this bluster start piling up when Wentz couldn't finish a season, and the Eagles organization, for a long time, going back all the way to Andy Reid, knew that they treated, you know, we criticized them for not giving a shit, sorry to swear in a show, about the linebacker
and
position.
You just got buzzed. Okay, go ahead.
But they don't care about the linebacker position, but they care about that QB position, right? So they always backstopped it.
Yeah.
And so when Wentz, you know, Howie, Doug Peterson, they're all fully on board. But then they're realizing this guy may not ever be available for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you know you have a championship caliber team? You go solidify the quarterback. I never had a problem with Howie drafting Hurts. And I never had a problem with, he's going to put pressure on Wentz. I'm like, what are you? Are you a champion or are you not capable of putting that back on the bench? And Wentz proved very quickly that he was not capable of even overcoming that little bit of pressure of keeping a rookie quarterback on the bench.
Right.
And And all of that stuff, I think Howie sniffed out very quickly. I don't think his intention was, I'm drafting Hurts because Hurts is my guy, and he's better than what I ever thought Wentz could be. That's not the case. I think Howie believed firmly in his heart that Wentz was a true-blooded, like, champion quarterback. But after the injuries and after Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, and they have to deal with, what do? Do we keep Foles or let him go? They end up letting Foles go. Mm-hmm. And so Howie drafts the younger, cheaper version of, well, we need a guy that can at least come in and win some games, so we're not going to play. Well, what did they pay Chase Daniel to back up?
They made him like one of the highest backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, $7 or $9 million. Yeah. And Howie's looking at that saying, I'm not paying $7 or $9 million for my backup. I can draft one and pay him half of that.
Right. No.
So Hurts is on a very cheap deal.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be signing a new contract. The next thing is Howie will make a decision on Hurts after this offseason. And if he's their guy, he's going to sign Hurts right now to a 5-year deal. And we'll probably hang on to this offseason and see how Hurts does. But if Hurts wins and gets them, then that's it. Hurts is the guy going forward.
No doubt.
There will be no doubt.
Right.
So I think Howie's on to something. I think he pays attention to the way that this locker room, where that goes, a little bit more in detail, I think, than maybe Jeff Lurie. And I just think that a lot of fans are going to need to start eating some crow here if Hurts is the guy, because that's totally Howie's move. If you blamed him for blowing up Wentz's career, but Hurts brings us to the Super Bowl within the next 5 years, well, mm-hmm. Howie's right. And you can't even – I'm not a big fan of Howie either, but I'm like, he's got me thinking I'm bipolar in the way that I think of the Eagles organization, because I'm like, there are some things. He pulls Jordan Mailata. He pulls Jason Kelsey. Yeah. These guys that are players. He pulls Dallas Goedert. And he whiffed massively on some of these first-round
wide receivers. He's never been able to – until finally Smith, he's never been able to draft wide receivers.
Yep.
It's still totally. It's like Achilles' heel. Yep. Well, I'm glad you kind of went through that, because I thought that was a great point that you made. It really got me to think when you said, I wonder if Howie really sniffed this out. And I didn't have an issue with him drafting a quarterback in that draft. My only issue was drafting – using a second-round pick – on a quarterback, you know, when they had other needs. That was the only issue that I had with selecting a backup quarterback, because I totally understood exactly what you said about, you know, as a GM, you have this, you know, this really star in the making quarterback, franchise QB, but somebody who's proved like for 3 straight years couldn't stay healthy, couldn't finish a season. So, yeah, why not back him up and not have to pay a fortune for your backup quarterback? It made a lot of sense. Guy you can actually develop as well. I think they took Hurts too soon, but that ultimately may not even, at the end of the day, you know, end up being looking as a reach as it did initially. If Hurts continues to play and grow,
it exposed Wentz for what Wentz is. Right. I think
right, it definitely exposed Wentz. We got to see, you know, there's I don't know if it's an old saying, but I don't know what the old saying is, but there's a lot of people, a lot of leaders, a lot of people like Brady, and it doesn't matter the sport, that they always talk about how you really try to, you really find the true character of a person, not when everything's going well, it's when they go through adversity. That's when people reveal their true colors, and that's what happened with Wentz. We got to see Carson Wentz's true colors. This is not meant to be a Wentz bashing segment, because I like Carson Wentz. I think he's a good guy. I don't have any hate towards Carson Wentz at all. But my point is, this, you know, you mentioned exposed Wentz. This exposed Wentz as he doesn't have, like we talk about these qualities of Hurts, how he's composed, he's poised, he doesn't get rattled. He just is, you know, he's just, Wentz is not that guy. Wentz got rattled. He got skittish. And then maybe it's injury. You know, maybe it's because of the injury, but it doesn't matter if it's injury or not. Wentz got exposed. And when he tucked his tail in and, you know, between his legs and tried to get out of here once the Eagles kind of opened up the quarterback competition, that spoke volumes to me. I'm like, I don't want that guy leading my team.
No, because it doesn't happen with champion athletes.
Well, you talk about Tom Brady, right? That was a great analogy. When they drafted Garoppolo, Tom Brady took that as a challenge. Here's Tom Brady, right? He has way more credentials than Carson Wentz. He didn't get all butthurt about it. He's like, okay, you guys think I'm towards the end of my career and I can't get this done anymore, and you want to bring some young guy in here? I mean, Tom had – he got better.
Yeah, he got better.
Yeah, he got better, right.
The same thing if you're the Chicago Bulls and you got Michael Jordan as your point guard and he's aging or whatever, you could draft consecutive point guard after consecutive point guard after consecutive point guard, and MJ would just be like, yeah, you're red and fine.
Exactly.
You're red and fine. You ain't going to see this floor. No way.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the guys that are true leaders. And ultimately, what a surprise, they are the champions in whatever sport it might be. You mentioned Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. You know, it doesn't even matter what sport. Those type of players with that championship mentality, those are the guys that welcome challenges. They, like, look for things to get them motivated or give a little extra chip on the shoulder. Wentz, he's like, oh, you going to do that to me? All right, I don't want to play here anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, again, I'm not trying to bash Wentz, but to me, I don't want that in the leader of my club. I don't want that mentality.
It's paper mache. Looks good on the outside, but it's just 2x4s and chicken wire on the inside.
Yeah. So, all right. So we'll move on. I mean, you know, like I said, I thought it was a good point that you made, so I wanted to bring it up in the show, but let's get back to the Eagles. So, all right. I've now made you, through the magic of podcasts, Coach Sirianni. So, Coach, how do you win this game on Sunday? How do you beat the Buccaneers?
You start with the basics. You can't turn over the ball, right? They learned that lesson during the regular season, I hope.
Giants game?
Yeah, you cannot turn over the ball, so you start there. Ball security is the number one thing. No free points off turnovers.
Absolutely.
Second thing, I want my defense well-rested. I'm not sure you can stop Brady with short precision passes. I'm not sure you could do that. Right. It'll be interesting to see, but that's the John Gannon part. But, you know, Sirianni is the head coach. But I think on offense, let's do offense first, then we'll go defense.
Okay.
How's that? All right, so on offense, do those things that you know you've perfected. Run the ball and mash this Tampa defense and get them tired early. Get them really tired early. I don't even care if the score gets a little out of hand with Tampa over us. If it's 20-0 in the first half, keep running the ball. Just keep mashing them, especially if Shaq Barrett's got a bum knee. Run, 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 and get them gassed for that second half. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to need to take advantage in this game of Jalen Hurts' running skills and make him put some moves on these guys and test out that knee. You know, if they're doing RPOs early, you're going to find out a lot about how quickly Shaq Barrett can cut back and forth across that field.
Especially if it's a sloppy field, like weather-wise.
Exactly. So I think Hurts' mobility definitely going to be an asset for the Eagles to have, because they might need that a lot. And then you just keep working. Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, Greg Ward. Where's Greg Ward? He seems to make big catches in the playoffs. Like, please, not let Jalen Reagor see the field. Please.
I don't think you're going to do that.
I don't think they will either, but you have a way more explosive player.
They really should.
Jason Huntley. I would let Jason Huntley return those punts.
Me too. He'd be
bumping. And I would use Quez Watkins or Ward in the slot. Maybe Watkins on the outside, Ward in the slot. Ward can play the slot. And I just don't even want to see Reagor on the field. I cannot stand one more drop pass for a first down or something else. I cannot. We've seen enough. I'm done with him. Done with Reagor. Let him sit the bench.
I hear you. It doesn't sound like they're doing that. I was hoping to hear that out of Sirianni, because some of the press, some of the guys like Ruben Frank, actually, I know Ruben. I don't know if you saw his article this week. Man, did he tear Reagor.
I totally agree with him.
And
I swear to God, Rube is my most trustworthy source with Eagles football. I love Ruben's anything. He's very, very
He's very good.
Pinpoint with his wisdom, I think.
Yeah, he is.
So that's all. I think on offense, you've got to run the ball. You got to have Hurts run the ball with that running attack as well. Just mash him, mash him, mash him. And then key plays. Keep it third and short, and let's get some passes to Devontae Smith. You'll get the big strikes with Goddard. I think we'll be open to hit on a couple big plays, but I really don't want to see a ball going to Reagor. I really don't. Throw it to Watkins, throw it to Devontae Smith, throw it to anybody else for Baker. I don't even want to see him.
Yeah.
And that's how you play a consistent offense. I think Sanders is very important to have him back, but his hand kind of worries me. Yeah. But to have an explosive threat will be important.
Right.
That's all I got for offense. What do you think?
Well, my biggest key to this game is for the Eagles to start fast, which might be the biggest challenge because this team has started slow so many games this year, and they can't afford to have that happen in this game. I think they have to score first. They got to at least keep this game within a field goal. They can't get down 10-0 or 13-14-0 to Tom Brady. They're not going to come back from that. Brady's not a quarterback that will let you off the hook. He will pound you to submission if you give him the lead. So to your point, no turnovers. Let's try to score. I'd love to see the Eagles go up 7-0 and get a stop, you know, or home to a field goal or something so that Brady doesn't come right down and tie the game. Just get a 7-0 lead, make that stop, and then get the ball back and maybe get a kick a field goal, get a 10-0 lead or score again. Because here's – I have two different things. I got like a specific talking points about this game and then like an overall thing. Because if this game – I don't trust Gannon. We've had these talks – you know, and earlier, and we, I know I talked about you in the episode that you were on about my concerns with him and the defense that he plays. This defense, unless I, it would shock the world for me if the Eagles have a 6-point lead with 2 minutes to go in this game, Brady's going to win the game. So I don't trust this defense stopping Brady because that's the I'd rather have the Eagles get blown out. And this is just me. I'm not speaking for everybody, certainly. I'd rather be blown out in this game than to have a close game where I get my hopes up, like, man, they might pull this off. And then that Brady just marched down the field against Gannon's passive defense and win the game.
But against Gannon's passive defense. So hold off on D just for a second. But I have a question. So if you win the coin toss, what are you doing? Are you taking the ball
That's a very good question. I didn't even think about that. Let me ponder that one for a second. You know, I think I would take the ball. And I rarely like taking the ball. But in this game, based on what I just said, take the ball, go down and score, get a lead. Because I guess it makes my point. I kind of answered my question in my commentary I just gave. The commentary I just gave said, don't get behind. Well, Brady gets the ball first, and he marks it down, scores 7-0. You're already behind before you even get to touch the field. So, and I rarely do that. I typically like to kick off, get the defense out there, but – I would take the ball.
The ball first.
It's a great question.
Yeah, I totally agree. I want the ball first because if we can just have some sort of a drive, that's Brady on the sidelines. So my entire goal to this game would be Brady on the sidelines. I want Brady on the sidelines for as much possible time exist in this game. And because otherwise –
And how do you do that, right? How do you keep him on the sideline?
Well, you run the ball.
Exactly.
Run the ball and you don't get turnovers. I'm hoping that the Eagles are somehow able to force their turnover.
Yeah.
It's probably going to come from the running backs. Although Brady does occasionally throw a stinker game. And here's the interesting thing about John Brown.
Again, the weather. The weather could play a key. I keep harping back on the weather, but if it's a sloppy, windy day, more prone for turnovers.
I'm definitely checking the balls for the proper inflation on a windy day.
Please check the balls.
The other thing is, so Brady, let's talk defense now. So John Gannon and I have all the same fears you have. I'm like, why don't you start it off with me with Sirianni Seal? I'm going to put it into your hands
okay.
now. You're John Gannon. What do you do to stop this offense?
I do whatever. I use two people, and I don't even care what else they do because I think you could take Slay and put him on Evans. Evans is going to get his plays because he's just that good, but I think Slay would be at least be able to pretty much neutralize and contain Evans. I would be double covering, maybe even triple covering Gronkowski this entire game.
We have not. Your audience won't believe us, but we have not talked.
We have not.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking about too. You need to. I would leave Slay on Mike Evans. I'm not worried about the middle with John Brown because Maddox can cover that. I'm worried. I would put Epps and a linebacker on Gronkowski. Cover that. The Brady's precision accuracy with these middle passes are fine, but he has no practice with John Brown. So right. Brown could be great, but that just all they need to be is just a slight smidge off
right.
of that game. And all of a sudden those precision passes go
and
away.
And Brown hasn't caught a pass all year, so Brady might even be able to put it right on him and he might drop it because he hasn't played the whole season.
Yeah. So you might get a couple oops types right. of plays from there. And I'm telling you, like I mentioned Marcus Epps' name, you know, a couple of your programs ago as my stock up player.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get smoked by somebody. I have a feeling he'll be in the right spot. Gronk is always tough. You can double cover him and still
he still can catch lose.
And the other thing is you got to watch out for Cameron Brate too. So
right, yeah, they have two good tight ends.
Yeah, I think
they actually have three. They have OJ Howard, who's their third stringer. I mean, they could be starting in any most other teams.
Yeah, so I think Alex Singleton is going to be a big. It's going to be a lot of spotlight on him.
Wow, did you just say? I'm going to have to play this back. Did you just say something positive about Singleton?
I did. He's light and nimble, and he's going to have to. He's not bad in pass coverage, so
right.
Well, he's going to have to take care of Cameron Brate, and they're going to have to double Gronkowski in the meantime, and that the defensive line has to get a rush without a blitz.
Just yes.
Like, I mean, this is.
That's my second key. You just hit it right there. The Eagles, those front four have got to get, you probably don't even have to sack Brady. Just get him off his spot. Just get enough to make him move around a little bit.
Now, Brady is still shifty in the pocket.
He's very good, but you still.
They got to hit him. They got to touch him. Yeah. They got to be in his personal space. And I'm not saying Derek Burnett's going to flick
him. I was just going to say, thinking that. He'll hit him late.
But they got to bump him. You bump Brady, he doesn't even like getting bumped. So you got to bump him, put some body on him, and just get him thinking. And I think that middle of the field pass for Brady that he's always just smoked defenses with, it might just be a little off if he hasn't had time to get on the same page with Brown. And maybe they got some other young receiver on that team that nobody's heard of that's been on the practice squad and been there all week, but I think that's the key. It's a massive challenge. So is it going to be easy? No. But I think Slay can handle Evans, just like you said. I think Evans, since he has a hammy, the speed, that's going to help Slay stick with him. And maybe Brady underthrows a ball or overthrows Evans and Slay can get one. And big play Slay.
Get a defensive touchdown would be very helpful.
So, you know, it would help. I think the Eagles, if they can pop a turnover or two in their direction and they just stick to that running game and just playing smart football, they've definitely got a chance to beat Brady.
Yeah, I give him a chance. I definitely give him a chance to win this game. I just, you know, I don't know if they're going to have enough to do it. And it's really, to me, I think offensively, they might be able to. See, the thing is, I think they're going to have to score. Now, this was before I heard the weather forecast. I know I keep going back to the weather, but this could be a huge, like, pivotal, you know, variable to this game. Because I was thinking all along this week that the Eagles are going to have to score somehow 30 points to win this game. They're going to have to score in the low 30s. Because I don't think their defense is going to hold Brady and offense to under 30 points or 28 or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
and I don't see the Eagles offense scoring in the low 30s.
Right. So to your point, I think they need to get a touchdown defensively. Or they have to get some kind of points defensively. Did you see what the heck? Did you watch any of the game last week or 2 weeks ago? I mean, no, it was last week. It was the game against Dallas. Did you watch any of the game? I know it was ugly, but did you see?
Yeah, I watched most of it.
What the heck happened to our punter all of a sudden?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that was a little concerning to me because he did back-to-back 25-yard botches.
22 punts.
He can't do that in the playoffs.
No.
That was weird because he's punted pretty good all year, and then suddenly he couldn't punt the other day.
Yeah, that so field position is the other thing.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't give Brady a short field.
No.
And I think Sirianni's going to be smart with the points that he has available. So I don't think he can be too aggressive with trying to get touchdowns over field goals. I know Tom can beat you, but I think you've got to take the points when they're there. And
I hope he does. I hope he does. I'm not so sure about that, though. He's got a little Doug in him.
Yeah, he does.
You know.
So that's about it. I don't have much else to say as far as keys to the game go. I think Fournette can be handled.
Yeah, they got to stop Fournette. I think it's good Ronald Jones not there, because really he's coming off an injury, Fournette, right? And if they don't have Jones as like a legit backup guy, then it's basically Fournette or who knows? I don't know who their third back is. Is it? Isn't it the old Steeler running back? Isn't he on Tampa? Who the heck am I thinking of? The Steeler guy, number 26.
No, I thought they had a rookie though.
Le'Veon Bell, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they do have Bell, but they had a rookie break a long run in their game this season without Fournette.
Okay. Well, I mean, still, I don't know if you'd really put a lot of credence in that. But, you know, I think Ronald – I get my point is that there's no really 1-2 punch there. It's kind of like a one punch, and I don't know how much you got left of Le'Veon Bell and maybe this rookie guy. But Fournette coming off an injury, I'm not sure where his injury was. But again, if it's a sloppy field and you got a guy playing on a gimpy leg or whatever, that's good thing about Sanders is his injury is not a leg. His injury is, you know, his hand. So that's not going to, that won't be impacted by the weather, although it could make maybe the ball even a little more slick for him to hold on to. But.
Yeah. The other mismatch that's in this game though is Bruce Arians versus Sirianni.
Yeah.
As head coach, but then also as a play caller, Byron Leftwich calling the plays versus Gannon with that Arians offense, that's a scary mismatch. So Gannon, it's a true test. I would say, you know, there's all this publicity about Gannon getting head coaching calls, and I'm like, well, here's your chance.
Yeah, you gotta make a statement.
Something. And, you know, I wouldn't be sad if Gannon signed on to be a head coach next year and we could pick up Mike Flores as our DC next year.
Oh, man, that would be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to get a head coaching job, though, don't you think?
He should.
I can't believe the Dolphins did that to him.
He shouldn't have lost it with the Dolphins.
How the heck did the Dolphins fire a guy who they started off 1-7 and they won like 7 or 8 straight games and won their last game of the season, beat the Patriots twice? How do you fire a guy like that? That shocked me.
I have no idea. Plus, he's had 2 winning seasons in a row.
Yeah, so apparently there was like some chemistry issues with him in the front office. That's what I'm hearing. It's not really.
Yeah, and him and Tua, I think.
Oh, the Tua issue there too.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I'll take him. Let him coach around. But man, if we have DC opening, I'll be happy to have Flores as our DC.
Yeah.
Anyways. Too early to say that. Let's go get yourself a head coaching job by shutting down this Bucs offense.
I mean, he could shut up a lot of people like myself about questioning his defensive style by containing. I don't think you'll ever shut Brady down, but if you can contain him and make this a winnable game, that's enough for me. I just don't want him. I mean, Brady in the first game, he had like an 88% of passing efficiency. If that happens this game, forget it, Philly. We're one and done. The game will be over by halftime.
Yep.
So he's got to do something. Hopefully he's seen the tape and like, yeah, I can't do that again.
All the more important. I think they got to receive that kick, go down, score a touchdown, and then let's see how this game goes from there.
Yeah, that's my biggest. Like, if I had to highlight what the biggest key to this game is, Eagles need to start fast. Score first. Yep. Like,
be the first time this year, by the way, if they did.
Might be. I think they scored first against Washington. No, they did not score first against Washington in either game. They were down 10-0 in both games in that one. That's the thing. They've been slow starter the whole season. And that's why I'm concerned, because you cannot slow start in this game, because Brady will – he's not a guy that's going to, like, you know, not take advantage of that. He will – you give him any lead, and he will continue to pound on that lead the entire game. He's relentless in that respect. He's Tom Brady. So, all right, well, let's wrap this up. I'm going to keep it within an hour like I was hoping for, just for the main reason is I don't want to lose the whole show like happened the first time we tried to get this podcast launched with you on it. Any final thoughts here about the game, thoughts about – I know we kind of pretty much covered everything. So I guess just final thoughts in general, and then we'll end the program.
My final thought on it is I think Sirianni's done a hell of a coaching job this entire season, and I think he'll have them mentally right where they need to be for this game.
I thought your final thought was going to be, don't throw the ball to Jalen Reagor.
I don't want to see Reagor even on the field. Like,
oh, man. I know that's a really great final thought.
I'm so done. Because you cannot waste those opportunities. I cannot throw a ball to Reagor when I can throw it to Ward or Watkins.
Especially when if he does catch it, he just runs out of bounds. He can't wait to get run out of bounds.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I had a thought when you were talking about Jalen Reagor, and you're like, yeah, I just need some confidence and all that.
He does.
You know what doesn't have confidence? He doesn't have confidence because he shouldn't have been a first-round pick. Right. Because the college that he played at.
TCU, wasn't it?
He could run faster than all the rest of the competition. Right. Well, guess what, buddy? Everyone's running as fast as you are now. And I think that's the most obvious thing to his game. Yeah. He cannot beat these guys that are playing with the same talent that he had at a smaller school.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the mental capacity to take up on the challenge and make himself better.
Nope, he's never caught a contested ball, and right. I don't think he ever will. And he can't outrun guys.
No, so he never gets open. He hardly ever gets open.
Nope. I don't even want to see him on the field. I don't want to see no trick plays. I don't want to see we're here to build this confidence. Nope, it's too late for that. You had all season long.
To your point, and this is what I was hoping for, but it doesn't sound like it based on Sirianni's press conference. Now, again, I know you're the biggest opponent of what they say in press conferences because they're never going to give it away. But they asked him, and I don't know if it was Ruben, but one of the guys asked him, was like, you know, with the fact that, you know, Huntley had the 32-yard and he really showed some explosiveness on punt returns, would you consider, you know, putting him into to the game? And Sirianni's like, well, it's going to be tough to get him on the field, you know, because, you know, they'll be starting four running backs in the game for the playoff game, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would love – to me, that's the move to make. Out of all the moves – I would have Huntley, special teams. Like, we're talking about, Eagles need to find ways to get points in this game, right?
Yep. Let Huntley.
Give Huntley those opportunities. Because, you know, Jalen, Jalen's one of the worst returners in the league.
Yep.
Stat-wise.
And here's the deal. Huntley is on the active roster.
I know. That's why I'm wondering now if there's a little, if that's going to be a sneaky move by Sirianni, who told the press, it's going to be tough to get on the field, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly Huntley's out there returning punts. Man, I will give myself I will give Sirianni a standing ovation from the TV if he does that. But that's what we're talking about. Like, we got to find – Sirianni's got to find ways to impact this game to get points or get better field position, all that kind of thing. Because they're going to have to score. They're going to have to score points. And this is not a high-powered offense.
I think they can. I think the Eagles do actually have a lot of bad luck behind them.
The Goddard playoff two inches exactly. off the field.
They're due for some balls to bounce their way
and
for some karma to come back to them. And if they can roll with some confidence and just get a little bit of luck, then they can definitely bring it. I want the Cowboys, okay? So
speaking of Cowboys, I don't know if they're going to get past. Would it surprise you if San Francisco upsets them?
Not in the least.
I don't think so either. I think the Cowboys are in for a tough game.
They are. They get to host it at home, though. So.
Well, let's get by Tampa first. And So I'm going to try to squeeze it. There's 1 minute to go here before we're in the hour mark, and I want to finish it before that just in case we get kicked off. So in 10 seconds, can you give me a prediction? You don't have to give me a final score. Will the Eagles win or lose? And you could say they're going to lose. I predict many times in this show this year for the Eagles to lose. So
I'll give you a score prediction, and I'm not going to tell you who's going to win. It's going to be 27-24.
Okay, very good. You won't give us the who will win. I'm going to say, again, I think the Eagles are going to make this a tight game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout, but I just see Tom Brady at the end of the game doing his thing and having the final drive. If Brady has the ball last, the Eagles will lose. I'll just keep it that way. I won't make a prediction. I'll just say if Brady's got the ball last, the Eagles will lose the game.
Derek Barnett's going to make one play this season, and he's going to sign a big extension with the Eagles.
All right. On that note, Matt, thank you again for joining the program. You're always welcome back on the show. So with that, again, appreciate you making the time out of your day to join Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And like I said, you're always welcome back on the show.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
All right. And thank you all for tuning in. Like I said to you last week, you've moved my show and my podcast into the top 100 and even pushed inside the 50 for the first time ever. So, I mean, that's just awesome. Now they got Matt back on. He's like the secret ingredient. So I expect to be back into the top of 50 again the next time the stats come out. So thank you all for tuning in. Let's go Birds. Let's get a win. Let's upset the world here. Let's make things happen. And wouldn't that be sweet if we do end up matching those Cowboys again? Oof, that's something sweet to think about. But we'll be back. Tune in for the post game. We'll be back here in Philadelphia Eagles talk with Jeff. And thanks again, Matt. And for you all out there, let's go Birds. We'll catch you next time. Take care.